This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We're in Leviticus chapter 4, and we're dealing with the two chapters that we're dealing with in Leviticus 4 and 5, unintentional sin or the sin offering, and then you have trespass, and that's where you intentionally go in, you trespass God's law. We're going to talk about that later on in the week, but first part of this week, we talked about the end of last week. We talked about the different aspects of sin, intentional sin, unintentional sin, sin of commission, sins of omission, all that kind of stuff. And it was so exciting because we always love to talk about sin. That's the church just loves that. And so I'm being facetious because the truth is that is the struggle of our lives. We love to honor and glorify God and not have sin in our lives, but we do. And oftentimes we try to mitigate it or say that it's not a bad problem as it is. And the truth is it's really a bad problem. It is. It's a bad problem. It's a really bad problem that God had to send His Son to die for. So obviously it is a problem. In fact, the Bible says that we are replete with wickedness, where our hearts are full of wickedness. We turn to our own wicked ways each and every day, completely the way we do. And that leads us to this passage. That leads us to this passage that we do sin that we don't even know we're doing. Oftentimes I hear people talk about, I need to ask for forgiveness for all my sin. Yes, if you identify the group of all your sin being all the sin that you know about, because you can't ask for forgiveness for sin that you really don't have any idea about. And in fact, God knows that you can't. He knows you. There's no way for you to ever really get to the bottom of how sinful you actually are. And He wants you to go through life learning of His will and His way. And as you learn of His will and His way, you realize the things in your life that are not according to that will and that way. And that would be sin. Anything in your life that's not in line with God's will is sin, because God's will is His perfect character and nature manifest in life. And so His will tells us who He is and how to live. But if you don't know His will, if you don't walk in His will, if you don't meet His will perfectly, well, we're sinning. That's sin. Now, you don't know His complete perfect will, because we are born separated from God. We don't know Him. We have to learn about that. And when we learn about that, well, we figure out certain things are not according to the way God does them. And God wants us to figure that out. God wants us to figure out that the things in our lives that are inhibiting us or keeping us from His very best. He desires for us to know Him. And in the process of knowing Him, that's going to uncover the sin in our lives. And oftentimes we think of it as such a negative, but in our life, Chad, if you really think about it, it's the natural end of knowing God. And the natural end of knowing God is to discover all the unintentional sin we do, which is a lot. So He says here, and by the way, there's three categories of people that He's going to deal with. He's going to deal with just the regular folks, and he's going to deal with the leaders who are not necessarily spiritual leaders, but are leaders of the people. And then He's going to deal with the people as a whole, and there are two different aspects to, there's actually three different ways you could sacrifice for these, and they are clearing out how our sin is revealed to us. It says in verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them," which means that's a pretty broad spectrum of what a person could do. If I sin in any way against any aspect of the commandments, and I do any of it, then I'm in this category. Well, that would be all of us. And as we go through life, that would be symbolic. It would be saying, these are the things that you are doing that are against my commandments. And by the way, they dealt with this for 1,300 years. And when Jesus came around, he showed them that they really weren't even close to being living in his fullness, because he said that the issue is not the outward, it is the inward, it's the inward desire, it's the inward brokenness of man. Your heart is broken, and so your actions just reveal what's going on that's wrong with your heart. And so the truth is, you can do this for 1,300 years as a people and still not get it right. And so God is in the process of, he's revealing himself, and as he reveals himself, he reveals how you're not him, how you don't meet that standard. He says, if the anointed priest sins, now he's going to go through all of them. Now, these are the spiritual leaders. He says, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish, a sin offering. Now, remember, all raised cattle, bulls, and things like that, there is a picture of the flesh in Scripture. So when you're studying through the Bible and you're dealing with Scripture, when you were talking about your flesh, that's what's going on. And by the way, that's where you're saying, is that your sin abides in your flesh. It is your sin nature. That is what the flesh speaks to. It's your natural separation from God, your natural sinfulness that you are born with. You pass down from mother to father to children. It is how we sin. We sin by being just totally separated from God. And so he says, if you do that, if that happens and the priest does it, which would be in the New Testament, that's all of us. That would speak to all of us who have the ability to go before God, meet with God, have a personal relationship with God, be a co-heir with Christ. That's all believers. We are a priest now. We're a kingdom of priests in all actuality. When we sin, and we do, because we don't realize that we have unintentional sin in our lives, we realize also when it's in our flesh. And what do we do? Verse 4, he shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hands on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Now notice, the priest is the one who is acting here, killing the bull. He's placing the sin on the bull. The bull is taking his position as far as the sin is concerned, and then he's killing it, which tells us something about unintentional sin, the sin that we figure out. We got to deal with it. That's what it tells us. It tells us you have to deal with it. You just can't say, well, I didn't know about it, and that's just the end of it, because you'll keep on doing it even though you now do know. You have to deal with it. And how do you deal with it? You place it on, not in a bull now, we place it on Christ. We give it to Christ. We hand it over to Christ. And boy, that's hard to do. It is not easy to do. But if you think about it, I am giving this to Christ. In a real sense, he's already paid for it. He's already been sacrificed for it. But I do still need to place it on his account. I need to move it from my books to his books. I need to have my life changed so that it's no longer an aspect of how I live. It's an aspect of how God reveals himself. And it's important that we do that. He says, he shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord, lay his hands on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. This is a picture of, this is a life process. He's taking that blood. He's taking that blood, which is in the blood is life. He's taking that blood and he's bringing it to the altar. The priest dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord. This is 7th Sunday of completion. So and by the way, it's going to take a little while for you to deal with each and every aspect of your sin nature, which is a lot, and a lot of dealing with it. And so it's a lifelong process. So salvation is a struggle. It's a lifelong process. And so when we're dealing with this, you got to deal with it. And the priest shall put some of the bread on the horns of the altar, a sweet incense before the Lord. Why is that a sweet incense before the Lord? Because we're becoming more like him. Each time we lay aside some aspect of our sin nature, we become more like him. We take on his identity and not us. We actually begin to walk in the life that he's provided for us. And so it's a sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining bread of oil at the base of the altar, meaning That's going to be the end of that. We're going to try to lay that all aside. And it says at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, he shall take from it all the fat of the bull as the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, the two kidneys. These are the best parts of the sacrifice. And that's the part that God wants burnt up. It's the offering giving to him. It's a full, complete offering because you're giving him the very, very best part. As it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offerings. But the bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and its legs, its entrails and its offal, the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are pulled out and burn it on a wood fire. Now notice, they're not going to keep anything from this bull. They're going to burn the good parts, and they're going to give it to God. And then the rest, they're going to not even burn it on the altar. They're going to take it outside the camp and get rid of it. But that's a picture of a complete getting rid of some aspect of sin in our hearts. Boy, isn't that hard? It is hard. It is difficult. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a lifelong process of you doing it. But when we give it to Christ, and we allow Christ to totally rid us of it, that's the picture of this, taking it outside the camp, burning the hide, the head, everything that's left, that were the best parts that were given to God. Once we get rid of all that, there's nothing left. And that's what God wants for us. It says, but the bull's hide and all his flesh with its heads and legs, all of that, we carry it outside the camp to clean it to a clean place, and it's burned up. Now, in verse 13, he's going to not only just deal with the priest, that's the people who have a relationship with God, but he's going to deal with anything that deals with all the people. He says, now, if the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, meaning we don't know it, we didn't know it, and that's going to happen. Whole congregations are going to be involved in something that they just didn't realize was not the right way to do it. And if you don't think that goes on, it does all the time. It is a continual aspect of us being sinful, and then we all get together, and we're all sinful together. And if you think that's not going to take place, it's going to take place, and it's going to become a problem. He says, when the sin which we have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for the sin, and bring it before every tabernacle of meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on it. So who's going to take care of it? Well, the leadership of the body, the leadership of the people back then, the leadership of an individual congregation. It's, you got to deal with sin. When you realize that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, or you realize that you're acting in some way that's not according to God's will for your congregation, what do you need to do? You need to get together and say, well, quit doing that. We're going to lay that aside. We're going to place that on Jesus. And they're doing the same thing they would have done, the priest would have done. They're doing the same thing for the whole congregation. It's a beautiful picture of God dealing with his people and getting them headed in the right direction, getting them moving toward his best and moving away from themselves, their own sin nature, their own desires, their own ways of doing things, moving them toward God. It says, the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meeting. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to dip the thing in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, in front of the veil, and he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord. The same process, the exact same process, bull, place your hands on the hood, take the blood, place it on the altar. He's gonna take the burnt offering, which is a door, and he take all the fat and burn it on the altar, that's verse 19, just like we do with the other. And he shall do this with the bull as he did with the bull, a sin offering. Thus he shall do it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Notice, God's going to release us from the consequences of those sins. He's going to release us from the problems and the struggles, and he's going to allow us to walk the way we should walk. Then he shall carry the bull inside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. I think this is a fabulous Bible study right here for how God deals with our sin nature. Remember, that bull is a picture of the flesh, and God does deal with our sin nature on a regular basis, and he does it corporately as a church, and he does it individually as preached. He's going to do it in your own life. He's going to deal with who you are, and he's going to rip those things out of your life. And so many times, and I'm going to tell you, I believe this is why Leviticus is a book that people really generally don't want to study, is because it is a deep dive into our sin, and Jesus is paying for that sin. It's a struggle for us. It is diving into the things of our lives that we really just don't like. And the fact that we actually don't want those things and don't like those things is another aspect of God's revelation to us. Because if we were left to our own devices, if God never ever revealed to us those things are terrible and those things are things that we should not and ought not be a part of, we would just continue on in them like they were nothing, like they were a regular way to live your life, and they're not. And so God, in his infinite grace, has made it possible that we could actually struggle with our sin. And notice, it's not just God taking away the sin. He takes away the aspect of our sin being punished, the penalty for our sin. But we are intimately involved in the salvation process of bringing our sin before the Lord and placing it on his altar and allowing him to remove it from our lives. This is a process. And in fact, maybe the book of Leviticus is the book that's most involved in explaining how to live the salvific process out, the sanctification process of God out. And maybe that's why it's the book we least like of the five books that Moses wrote. The first book is God's showing us that we can't have any other way. We'll always end up in slavery to sin. The second book, the book of Exodus, is God delivering us from sin. He's delivering us from the world, and he's delivering us from death. And we like both of those books. We like to see how things work, and then we like to see how God redeems. But the third book, the book of Leviticus, is about salvation. It's about the salvific process, how we go through being cleansed, being made complete and made whole. And maybe just because we got to deal with that, we struggle with it the most. We don't want to study the book of Leviticus. But I'm going to tell you, it's the best aspect of it, because it's the aspect of God's plan for our lives that makes us most like him. We try our efforts to hear God's word, trust him, and act upon it, and allow the sin of our lives to be burned on his holy altar and to be handled fully by him. And so I pray that as we study tomorrow, that God deals with these sins for just the common folk a little bit different. It's a little less stringent, but many times just the same way.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.